Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are so glad you're listening in. My name is Hino, and I am not Hawaiian. So there, cleared that right up.
Well, thank you, because I've been wondering that for so long.
I get that question all the time.
Really? Okay.
You're wearing a grass skirt, Hino.
Well, I just like it. It's nice and airy.
Yeah.
It's hot in Nashville.
And the coconuts, Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to join the conversation. Just log on to facebook.com/themusicrowshow. Chat along with us. And remember, you can always listen to past shows by clicking the podcast page of themusicrowshow.com.
Sweet. Yeah. And we can you can also hit us up on Twitter at The Music Row Show. And, of course, you mentioned Facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. So we'd love to hear from you.
While you're at it, go to Twitter and go to Heather 11. But you got to spell 11. Out 11.
Yeah. Our Heather goes to 11.
Our Heather goes to 11. So, Hino, who is this lovely, talented person we have sitting here with us?
Man, we are excited to have recording artist and hit songwriter Heather Morgan joining us this hour. Seems like songwriting has kind of always been in her blood, from writing her first tune at the age of 6 all the way to today, writing songs for artists like Trisha Yearwood and Sarah Evans, who had a great song with Slow Me Down.
Thank you so much.
Billy Ray Cyrus, Keith Urban with Love's Poster Child off his latest album, Fuse. Yeah. I love that song. That's a great song. Eli Young Band, and of course, the new number one this week for Red Eldridge, Beat of the Music. So we are thrilled to death to say, Heather Morgan, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate it.
All right.
Wow. Number one this week. That's kind of cool, right?
Oh, my goodness. I've been crying, laughing, crying again. Happy tears. All happy tears. But it's been a long road. And so it's been really enjoyable to share with so many people that have... I was just thinking of all the people this week back in Texas where I grew up that just sat outside in the heat during the summers when I would play gigs and sweat and order beers so the place would bring me back.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
Listen to music that have been there to see it all happen.
Well, let's talk about Heather in Texas. What was the first record you remember really listening to as a little girl? And what was it that caught your attention, do you think?
I think I do remember listening to The Judds a lot. Mm-hmm. And I really loved a song that Winona sang. I remember singing it for the girls in the summer camp. And I was like, something about a red... I laid a red rose on your front porch and wrote I love you on a note. And I would sing it with my eyes closed to my summer camp, like girls that I was in the cabin with. But I really loved The Judds. I loved Reba. My first concert was Reba. Okay. And I remember she had all the outfit changes.
Oh, yeah.
She had a taxi, like an actual taxi that came out on a stage.
So is that why you brought all really the cool. extra clothes tonight? I mean, you don't
have
to... Yeah,
that's why we're having outfit changes.
Wow. Outfit changes every commercial break.
Wow. I'll be like, cool with that.
No worries.
No worries. So your first song, though, Walk Away, was kind of inspired by The Supremes, which is definitely not country.
My mom had a record player in our house when we were about life was at the cassette stage. Like, you didn't have to be listening to vinyl, but she was really cool and is still really cool and would play old 50s and 60s songs.
Nice.
And she actually had this mixtape that I just carried around with me everywhere that was old songs from like the Beach Boys and that song that's like the little old lady from Pasadena.
Right,
Janet
right.
Dean, right.
And
Janet.
I would make up dances, and when people ask me, what do you want to be? I'd say, I want to be a 50s and 60s singer. And they're like, what is that? So I kind of, that's where I picked up melodies, I think, and structure, maybe. Hopefully it wore off.
Nice.
Well, I heard that a good way to get little girl Heather Morgan to cry was to tell her she sounded like Dolly Parton.
Yes. Aww. Oh, my gosh.
That would make you really sad when you were a little girl.
Yeah, I don't know why. That's such a weird, true story, though. did you talk to my mom?
She calls me quite often. Yeah.
We're like this.
Yeah. My voice used to shake from the vibrato. And mm-hmm. so when I would sing for friends and stuff, they'd be like, you sound like Dolly Parton. And I'd cry because I was getting made fun of. But later on, I embraced it. And now I love it.
Well, who did you want to sound like? And did you ever, have you ever had the chance to actually share that story with Dolly?
No. Oh my gosh. I'd pass out if I met her. But I would love to meet her. I would absolutely love. I've always wanted to meet her and Michael Jordan, which that's a whole different story. But
I'd like to meet them at the same time.
Yeah. At the same time would be incredible.
You'd get whiplash.
Hello, Dolly. Hello, Michael.
I know, exactly. Yeah, if anybody wants to introduce me to her, I will have no problem with that. But what was the question?
Who did you want to sound like?
That's a great question. I think there was a lot of pop radio in my life, mm-hmm. so I sounded country innately because I was from Texas, but I wanted to sound like Paula Abdul or somebody that was out there.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know,
absolutely.
That's what we're all really
hey,
striving
I know.
Yeah.
for. Bye. Okay.
Okay.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Wow. It's like she's here.
It's like she's in the room choreographing
something. So you are another in a very long line of hit songwriters from Texas. I mean,
it's a big state.
It just seems like so many of the big successful writers here in town come from there, which is amazing.
Yeah.
What makes Texas music and songwriting unique,
I think there's just a long history of it. It is a huge state, but there for way back, there's even a woman, Cindy Walker, that I have just admired for forever.
Right.
She has that incredible speech from
The Dress.
She's like, yes. And tonight I'm wearing this dress. It's like my mom bought me a dress for a BMI affair, and I remember being a kid watching that, thinking, like, this woman is important to what I want to do. And she was from Texas, and she wrote songs for guys. And I came along, and they're like, you need to write songs for guys. So that was kind of a connection. But Beyonce's from Texas. Miranda, I used to cross paths with Miranda when I was a kid. And we were just trying to play shows, and we would hang our T-shirts up with, you know, old hangers, and, you know, got to eat dinner for free, and that's kind of what you were paid with for the show. But there's just, you can feel it in the air or something there, you know, people are barbecuing and somebody gets out a guitar and you're a kid and you kind of see that. And my family, not my parents, but my grandparents and great grandparents, I've heard stories about furniture being moved out of the living room and people grabbing instruments and dances breaking out. So maybe it's just in the bloodline or the water or something.
Yeah.
Well, and not only for all the performers, but it seems like that state really loves original music and supports original singer-songwriters. The first thing you said, you were talking about, you know, the people that would stand out and on the hot summer days.
Yeah.
I mean, talk a little bit more about what you were doing there.
There was a spot that I used to play in Texas, in Dallas, called Levin Warren, Texas, and on Sundays they would have like Shinerbach Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so you would come out after church, people would go home and change and come out and be there from 2 o'clock until 10 o'clock at night, and there would just be different bands that would come in, and they would do like a little radio spot, but music would just keep going, and people were bringing their buddies up on stage, and somebody's sister-in-law's jumping up, and some waiter plays tambourine, so he's on stage. It was just fun. It was just a big party and an excuse to get together and an excuse to hang out and just have fun and celebrate music. So that's kind of the world that I come from.
That's awesome. Sweet. We're going to start doing Shinerbach Sundays on the Music
you
Road
should.
Show.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
You should.
That's a great
they
idea.
Have a blondie beer. You should probably have that too.
I'm all over it.
Well, so you eventually made your debut album as a artist,
yes.
Six Strings and Slow Back Roads. How important is it as an artist for you to perform your own material?
Well, I kind of do that as a luxury now. When I get a hankering, is that a word? Has the
yes,
word
it
hank
is.
In
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
When I get a hankering to play, I'll find a way to do that. But I think just as an artist, if you're on the side that I am, which is more concentrated on songwriting, I kind of joke that I'm a singer-songwriter, but sometimes I feel more like a songwriter-singer.
Okay.
You kind of
okay.
swap spots. But I think just for your soul, and you, if you have that inner voice that wants to get out, it's really important to put your songs out there how you hope they'll be heard and you want them to be heard. So I think it's vital to put music out that has your stamp on it.
Yeah. Well, talk about that inner voice. I mean, it sounds like you learned at a young age how to use music to maybe communicate things that you were too shy to actually say to people.
Oh, that is so true. I definitely have the shy thing, which is weird because I'm on a microphone and there's a bunch of people listening out there in the world. But there is something about music that it is such a cool way to just express yourself or get a message across. And for me, a lot of times, it's kind of like you were talking about Taylor Swift earlier, Mike. The way I've heard Taylor in interviews describe like a high school situation or a boy situation. Mm-hmm. It is a kind of roundabout way to say like what you're trying to express. If somebody broke your heart or somebody doesn't get the message that you do have feelings for them, it's nice to wrap it up in a pretty little package, put a ribbon on it and call it a song and just hopefully they'll get to hear it one way or another. So
how did you use that? I mean, did you ever put that out and then try to make sure that the person heard
completely.
It?
Completely.
Come on, tell us a story.
Oh my gosh. This is going to take me back to like high school or something like that. But this is funny. I didn't think I'd ever be talking about this. There was a guy named Mark in high school who was kind of like a bad boy type person. Mm-hmm. And
like Scott.
Like oh, yeah. Scott, yeah. Exactly. Right. Like Scott.
Da-na-na-na-na.
I know, is that a song? Yeah. And so I wrote this song called El Diablo.
And it was, subtle.
And it was like, I was always kind of a goody two shoes. And my mom was always like, all the good girls want to date the bad guys because it'll take them out closer to the edge. And so I wrote this song called El Diablo. And I remember he came to a show and I played the song and was hoping that he'd like get the message that it was about him. So I don't think he probably knows. Surprise, Mark. A million years later.
But Mark, yeah. El Diablo.
Exactly. But that was a long time ago.
Wow. He's listening from Abilene
yeah,
State Penitentiary.
I wouldn't even know. It's so funny. So.
Oh, that's awesome. So then when you write then, I'm guessing then you pretty much draw from personal experience?
Oh,
or?
I mean, definitely. There's even a few nights ago, I was with a friend and he has this old truck. I think it's like a 78 truck. And the streets were just empty. It was a really beautiful night. We were listening to like some Brooklyn indie bands. And I was like, this feels like a song. Like just something about the moment felt really free. And last week I wrote with a couple of friends and we wrote the song called Crazy Wild that we're demoing next week. And mm-hmm. It was just like taking something that is honest, an experience that you've like smelled the air and you felt the wind and you heard the rattle of what the engine sounded like. If you can take all of that and put it in a song and make somebody else like feel like they sat in that same spot.
So it sounds like you kind of always have really to be, have that antenna up and be aware of, so you're out having a good time. You're
definitely
also in the back of your mind thinking, okay, there's wind blowing, there's that, and I smell this.
Sun is setting, the sky is purple. Yeah, sometimes, definitely. I feel
does that like kind of take you out of the moment sometimes, or you're always got that songwriter hat on?
Well, I think I try to just have like a photographic memory maybe.
Okay.
That puts you back in the moment. But I do like getting details somewhat accurate so you know. I guess we're going back to like if somebody, it's really truly about somebody else, then
right.
you're kind of getting close to what it was really like.
Right.
That's kind of fun. But songwriting, you can embellish whatever you want.
That's right.
You can change the state. Or like in Beat of the Music, the actual story that the song is about happened in the Bahamas, but we had to make, for the sake of rhyming, it had to be in Mexico.
Sure.
Oh,
so
no.
So we had to
now change. You've ruined it for me.
I know.
Oh, man.
Sorry about that. But for the sake of rhyme, we had to change it to Mexico. So you hear it in the song. It goes Mexico. Oh, for the rhyme.
But in the video, they're in the Bahamas.
But I know. And that's a little bit confusing. But yeah. But I guess he wanted to be accurate for what the story was.
Well, there
so.
You go.
Cool.
Before we take a break, I got to back up just a second. Brooklyn indie music?
I know. We were listening, my friend Brett and I were listening to a song called I'm Not Going Home, but it's by a band called Great Good Okay Fine. How cool of that's a band name.
That's a
really cool band name. It looked cool in a t-shirt.
And is it like indie rock? I mean, what is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, huh. They're a band out of Brooklyn. It's just a really feel-good song. You should look it up. It's really, it'll make you feel good to listen to it.
We're going to look it up here during the break. You're listening to The Music Row Show. We're here with Heather Morgan. Please stick around. We'll be right back.
just met you a couple hours ago. My last night in town, hey, wouldn't you know? I'd get hooked on a girl with blue diamond eyes down here in Mexico.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That, of course, is the brand new number one song, Beat of the Music, by recording artist Brett Eldridge and co-written by our guest here this hour, hit songwriter Heather Morgan.
Yay!
Very love that.
Thanks for playing that.
Yeah, it's awesome. So is there a cool story behind the writing of that tune? Or
there is a cool story.
Okay.
It was actually kind of a crazy day for me. I had loaned out my house to a booking agent from William Morris, a friend of mine named Travis, who worked there at the time. And he really told me is that they needed to borrow my kitchen for a TV show filming. And so I woke up that morning and I knew some people are going to be coming over. And by then I knew who it was, but it was Kimberly Schlappman, who's the blonde curly headed girl in Little Big Town.
Okay.
So they filmed the pilot for her current cooking show at my house.
Really?
And so it kind of felt like being a Kardashian because at 8 in the morning, like 17 film people showed up at the house, hair and makeup and everything. And I lived at the time with two girls, and one of them, for my friend Megan James, forgot that that was the day it was happening. And so she opened her bedroom door in like pajamas and glasses, and there's a girl from Little Big Town saying like, hey, good morning. And so she shut the door. She's like, I'm gonna redo this morning. So she went and got ready, but they were filming her TV show. And so I felt weird, like running out of my own house saying like, I'm gonna go write this song, and everybody's joking like, go write a hit. But then we wrote Beat of the Music, so who knew?
Wow.
That would all happen in one day. But it was a cold day. It was January 24th, 2012. So it was winter here. But there we were writing the song that had like steel drum sounds in it. And it was about the beach and being out in the hot sun. So we were all kind of joking, like, if this ever like really worked out for your record, you'll probably get to go somewhere really cool, or you'll get to go back there.
Right.
Yeah.
It's funny that he actually got to go back and do the video there. And he got to rewrite the story. So if you've ever seen an interview with him, he tells about being on a trip there with his brother and how they actually saw this beautiful girl on a boat, and they took him like mini little boat over there to go see her. And apparently these two like huge NFL type guys stepped out from nowhere on this yacht that she was on. And so they kind of had to turn around with their tail between their legs and like, go back to whatever they were doing. And so his whole thing was he was going to make the video to write the story how he wished it had happened.
Very nice.
And I don't think Brett Eldridge has a problem getting a girl these days. I don't know if he has time to date anybody, but I'm sure probably decent in that department.
I'm sure he is. Brett, we think you're probably just fine with that.
You're dreamy. Don't worry about it.
You're dreamy. I want to hear about this kitchen. What is it about your kitchen that
The kitchens in Nashville, how'd they pick yours?
Well, you know, I bought this old house in 2010. It's from 1922, and it looked like a dump. I mean, it was really scary. I would bring friends over to see it, and they would be like, you're going to live there? Really? But I looked out. I have a dad who's a contractor, and he usually does commercial construction, but he moved to Nashville for 7 months, slept on an air mattress, and renovated the whole thing top to bottom.
Wow.
Is he listening right now?
Yes, he is, Dad. Thank you so much.
What's his name?
John Morgan.
What's the name of his contracting business?
EIF Construction, Executive Interior Finishings in Dallas, Texas.
Everybody should go use them because that's a good man right there. That's a good dad.
Dad of the century right there.
So he did a great job on the kitchen, and he opened up a room into the den. So they chose that house because you could move all the furniture and put the cameras.
Okay.
And the ceilings were tall, so they could get different angles they needed. And
that's
so
crazy.
That's how that looked out. I don't know, it just worked out. So, so fun.
Well, congratulations again. Thanks. That's fantastic.
And Kimberly left the brownies that day.
Bonus.
They were brownies.
Little Big Town brownies.
I know, Little Big Town brownies.
We'd love to hear you play some. You feel like playing something for us?
I do. I just had a request, which when you have a request, you kind of have to honor that, right?
Okay.
So this is actually a new song that I wrote with two great friends. One is named Ian Fitchstick. It sounds like Fishstick when I say that. Sorry, Ian, but it's Fitchstick, like T-U-K on the end. And then Maren Morris. Sorry. And then my friend Maren Morris, who is also from Texas, and she and I met like 10 years ago, and we would play these girls' night shows. And, I mean, she was like, she must have been like 10 or something. She's killing it in Nashville. She's lived here for about a year, but she's beyond paid her dues, and so it's been fun to watch her have so much success. But I am not a smoker, which is a weird way to start a song intro, but I had this idea of, and maybe from being out in town or whatever, I had a line sitting around that was, I gotta quit bumming cigarettes from the wrong guys. Like, just a way to say, like, I gotta stop picking the wrong guys. And so I took it to them, and we wrote this song on a Friday. So, anyway. I need to get more sleep. I've been staying up all night. Maybe when I drink, I need to stick to red wine. And I need to pick up the phone, see what's going on back home. And just admit, when I'm with him, I still feel alone. I've been going down a road that's a little too traveled, and I should find the common thread when it all unravels. Stop laying down my dollar just for a temporary high. And I gotta quit bumming cigarettes from the wrong guys. Stop this train and take my own advice. Stop saying that someday I'm gonna make it right. Cause it's just a red light, it's just a wrong turn. Another drag on a Friday night. When am I gonna learn that I've been going down a road that's a little too traveled, and I should find the common thread when it all unravels? Like laying down my dollar just for a temporary high. And I gotta quit bumming cigarettes from the wrong. And I should find the common thread that makes it all unravel. Like laying down my dollar just for a temporary high. Like laying down my heart and find my own light. And I gotta quit bumming cigarettes from the wrong guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey. Sound just like Dolly.
Just like
Stop
Dolly.
That.
I don't cry when people say that, so it's okay. I love it.
You know what,
that.
Though? In a couple years,
yeah,
when that song's a big hit on the radio, we're going to say, you know what?
First.
She played that on the Music Row show.
Oh, that's
really
like
right.
Only the second time I've actually played it live.
That is a killer song.
That's a great song.
Thank
love
you
it.
So much.
I love it.
I'm so glad.
Do you remember, because you've been here for how many years?
Now I've been writing for 9 years in town. Here
in town?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so do you remember how you felt when Texas was in your rear view and when you were actually
yes.
coming here? And what do you remember most about that and about your first few weeks in town?
I remember leaving that morning from Texas at about 7 a.m. a friend from college, my friend Chauncey, went with me. And I remember there were like 19 tornadoes literally in the rear view. Like,
man.
Literally, it was a very stormy day. It was March in Texas. And I thought that was a sign from God that it was the day to leave. Little did I know I was going to get right into tornado land again. But it felt so exciting. I remember just taking pictures at every state line when you got to the bridge at Memphis, taking a picture. I think there might have been a video somewhere. I remember that I got to parked my car at 9:38 that night. It's so weird that I remember that. But I was like, all right, it is go time and show time. It is time to do this. And so that Monday morning, I had a list of names of people. I had recently opened for Rodney Foster, a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
He's wonderful. And had his name and had just people's brother-in-laws or somebody's nephew or somebody's cousin. And I sat there in my room and I just called everybody. Like, was so terrified too at the same time of calling these people cold on my own and just saying I was straight off the turnip truck literally and wanted to, you know, make music in Nashville. And a guy named Joe Fisher, who was at Universal Publishing at the time, scheduled a meeting for a couple of days later. And I remember just being in his office and he was like, well, how many songs have you written? And I was like, oh, about 175. And I think his jaw hit the ground. Wow. He was like, what? Wait a minute, you just got here. You're not supposed to have songs yet. And so he was really helpful, and he set me up to write with a songwriter named Jeremy Spillman that I'm still great friends with. And so it's just crazy to see how the snowball started and kept going. And I met Jody Williams, who is at BMI, through a family friend. Actually, through an artist named Austin Cunningham, who's a singer-songwriter, who was a friend of a friend back home. And so it all kind of, like, it's like God put these people in my path that totally just, like, bowling-balled me through the world. I don't know how to say it, but everybody kind of led to another thing that was really important to happen, whether it worked out or not, or was the moment you needed. It was great to have people be receptive, and I know it's hard when people are really busy, and so that's kind of been a lesson to me now when people are, I'm on the other side of it. My dad and I talk about it a lot, like, once you're on the other side, remember that, like, Rodney made those phone calls, and Joe sat down with you, and to be a, you know,
Pay it forward.
Yeah. So it's been really fun to be able to do that sometimes.
Well, you write a lot with Ross Copperman.
Yes, Ross Copperman.
How did you guys meet? How did that relationship
start? We met
start?
By chance in Cuba, Florida, down in the Keys. It was a songwriter festival, and we just happened to meet one night there and talk to music. He had been in the UK for a while. He's originally from Roanoke, Virginia, but he had come to Nashville by taking a little side trip to the UK. He had a record deal over there and really enjoyed it, but I think he was just, it was time for him to be home, and so Nashville was a good fit for him. And we started writing the next week after the Songwriter Festival, and it was just so seamless, so effortless. He had such a different skill set as far as he plays piano, plays it so well. His grandmother was a classical trained pianist, and I don't even know if they ever met, but he definitely just is brilliant at piano. Hmm. A lot of people know him as a producer and a track guy, but he's also incredible at that and a great singer. And so we just started, like, writing songs all the time, sometimes on Sunday afternoons. And sometimes if I just had an idea, I would just send him a note and say, hey, I'm thinking about writing a song about a sinking ship or something, and let's do it. So we would go write a random song and didn't overthink it too much, which was kind of the beauty of that time period. But we got really serious about it, and I just wanted to just really try to go for it as far as getting songs on records. And Keith Urban came along and recorded Love's Poster Child, and that kind of set the pedal down a little bit. So it's been really fun, but he's one of my favorite co-writers.
Great. Wonderful.
Nice.
All right, well, let's take a break. We're going to be back with much, much more with Heather Morgan. We're going to get one more song out of her, too. Stick around. You're listening to The Music Row Show. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
You're pretty as a daisy in an open field. The way you make me feel from the get-go, I had to let go of every little thing that I've ever known.
Welcome back to The Music Row Show. That, of course, is Love's Poster Child. I'm guessing that's the demo of that tune, right? Or
that actually sounded, did he sound Australian? Because then that's Keith.
Okay.
If it sounds Virginian, then it's Ross singing.
Oh, okay.
That might.
Well, anyway, that's a great song. Love's Poster Child.
That's Keith.
That's Keith. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Keith.
That's okay. Him and Ross are good.
Because I'm sure he's glued to the radio right now.
Yeah. Keith's listening, saying, "Hi, no."
Yeah. He doesn't
sound
like
that. You're a head.
Come on. Oh, man, but that's a good... So talk about writing that song. You wrote that with Ross, right?
Yes.
And how did that get to Keith?
Well, I wrote the song with Ross, and I had originally, we were just talking about ideas, and I have a friend named Jaron Johnson who's actually in a band called the Cadillac 3, and I had saved that idea. Jaron's amazing. We kind of joke about this now, but I had Love's Poster Child written down and kind of the idea, the angle on it written down for Jaron. And we just were having, our schedules were kind of messed up. And one day I was writing with Ross, and Ross started playing that guitar part, that da-na-na-na-na, and I was like, oh no, Jaron's, like, Jaron doesn't know the idea was for him. He didn't know that. But in my journal, it was written down for him. So I, so Ross and I ended up writing it, but later on, Jaron was like, I see my song on that record, and my name's not on it. And so, that's okay. But Ross and I, it was just one of those songs that just fell out. I remember writing the line, I'm a broke down truck, baby, won't you fix me? And kind of Ross looking over like, hey, that's like a truck line, but it's even not even a truck line, because it's like not a truck.
Yeah.
So it was this roundabout way of getting a truck line in there. But
way to go.
Perfect.
It was fun, but there was a string of like six songs that Keith took from us and put them on hold, like you hear about holds when projects are coming up. And I remember he sent an email to Sony Publishing saying, like, I'm really liking what Heather Morgan and Ross Copperman are doing. Like, I'd love to write with them. I'd love to just hear whatever they turn in. Is there a way you could send that to me first? And I remember thinking, like, whoa, this is, that's amazing. Like, that's Keith Urban. What in the heck?
I would just frame that message.
Yeah. Why would you not frame that? I need to frame that. So I remember just, I was actually in a co-write when the email came in, and I remember three people being at the door, and I was like, why are three people standing there? And so they were like, you've got to come read this email. So it was really great. But he ended up recording one of the songs. And then there was another song that didn't make the record that he recorded that he says will be on the next one. So we'll see. But that's called Little Small Town Girl. But just to meet him, he's the most gracious artist and sweetest guy. Just passionate about music. You can see it in his live show. And was just hosted this party for us to all listen to the record together and meet it, all the writers that had been on the project. And it's just like a kid, you know, I don't think you ever lose that when you love music that much to get, you're excited to share it and you're excited for people to hear it and be a part of it. And so that was a really wonderful experience. I remember just asking him about the guitar riffs on it, trying to sound cool. But I'm sure he could see through it, but it was such an honor to get to be on that project. I love all the songs. I love Cop Car, Zach Crowe and Matt Jenkins, and Sam Hunt did such a cool job with that, and so many good songs. Ugh, I love that project.
You're so nice. You really are. Thanks. I'm loving this conversation. Will you play us another song?
I will. I thought I would do a song called Angel Like You. It's actually a song that I wrote with Mike Eli and Liz Rose, and we actually wrote it in Dallas. So it was three Texans writing on Texas soil, which is, I think, had some extra magic maybe that day because it actually made the project. But they're an artist on Big Machine. What's their label, Mike?
Republic.
They're on Republic. But I met those guys in college, and we used to play little small town joints down there, so it's fun to come together like that and have it all work out. So here's Angel Like You, and I switch one line since I'm a girl singing. Sorry, Mike. I don't know what on earth I'd do without an angel like you. I'd be lost like a ship at sea that took a wrong turn in the dark. Could put a pen to the story of my life and never know where to start. I'd be skipping days and slipping through the nights without feeling a thing. If you weren't here putting me right, what would my life mean? I don't know what on earth I'd do without an angel like you. Caught in a fire so hot without the rain to make it stop. They would paint me a fool in a world that's so cruel. Would be hell to go through without an angel like you. All I need is a shot of your smile to chase the blues away. When anybody else would have given up, you're the kind of love that stays. All this time I was looking for you, I knew there had to be a plan. Now I get everything I ever wanted in life, 'cause baby, baby, you're a good man. I don't know what on earth I'd do without an angel like you, caught in a fire so hot, without the rain to make it stop. They would pay me a fool in a world that's so cruel. Would be hell to go through an angel like you. I don't know what on earth I'd do without an angel like you, caught in a fire so hot, without the rain to make it stop. They would pay me a fool in a world that's so cruel. Would be hell to go through without an angel like you.
Yikes.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. All right. We got to take another break. Then we'll okay. come back and we get some more time with you.
Yay.
Beautiful. You're listening to the Music Row Show. Stick around.
Don't know what on earth I'd do without an angel like you, caught in a fire so hot, without the rain to make it stop. They would pay.
Oh yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That of course is the Eli Young Band doing.
I think that actually might be the demo.
Is that the demo?
Sure, yeah. The guy who sang it, Troy Johnson, sounds just like the Eli.
Well, either way, it's the song that was cut by Eli Young Band.
Yes,
and our guest this hour, Heather Morgan, just played that for us.
Yes,
although
I made
she
the
changed
girl
one
version.
Of the lines, she sneakily.
I know
made
which
it
one it was.
Girl line.
Which yeah. one? Which line?
About when he said about a good man or something.
Yeah,
because
like baby, you're a good man is what I say, but the line is in the real version is when you tell me I'm a good man.
Oh,
see? Ah, there you go.
So you have co-written with some just monsters, especially from Texas, Guy Clark.
Oh my gosh, that just happened.
Sean Camp, you performed with, and just many, many more. As I'm looking at what you've done, I'm thinking, man, to be in the room with them would be so awesome, but I'd be petrified at the same time.
It is.
Any good co-write stories, and how do you prepare when you're writing with Guy Clark for the first time?
That was such an amazing day. He actually, through EMI, is a Sony writer, so a friend of mine, Drake White, who is a new artist on Dot Records, he's incredible. He and I are both fans of Guy Clark, and we were writing one day, and I threw out this chorus idea, and he said, you know, Guy Clark would love that idea. And my eyes got really big, and I was like, have you been listening to my thoughts? Mm-hmm. Because Guy Clark in Texas, I went to see him perform at the Bass Hall in college, and John Hyatt was there, and Lyle Lovett, and these just heavy hitters, amazing artists from Texas were playing, and he just has been on this pedestal ever since, and I have some old vinyl records of like Texas Cookins in my living room right now. I got at the flea market, and so Drake was like, "Man, I'm buddies with him, and we should write that song with him." So we all set it up, and Drake and I went down to Wendell Smith's to the Meet and Three, and like mm-hmm. had breakfast to kind of like pump ourselves up for the co-write,
right?
Get ready, get our head in the game, and we went over to his house, and he is just kind of like this gentle giant. And we didn't take our computers. We didn't bother with that. And we went to this room that had like sun coming through. And he said, it's a real beautiful day. I thought we could write in this room. And I was like, yes, let's write in here. And so he gave us pencil and paper. And we had our lyric sheets and started writing. And I remember at one point I tried to put two words together. I tried to add a word on a line to get into the next one. I thought it would be really clever. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he's like, why would you add that line? Why would you put a word there? Line's already done. And I was like, yes, I'm totally getting like schooled by like this is so cool. And so Drake and I just were having the best day. And we wrote a song about the Choctaw River and went downstairs to his basement where he also builds guitars.
Yeah.
He pricks his thumb and he does a thumbprint in them. And I mean, I was literally like taking so many pictures. I crossed the line of like things you probably shouldn't do while in the presence of Guy Clark. But we recorded the song downstairs, and then Drake and I totally looked at each other like, let's geek out. And so we had him sign. Yeah, he signed my guitar. He signed the lyrics. And so I have them on a shelf, like a do not disturb shelf.
Nice.
So it was really amazing just to have that, to get to be in the presence of a legend and somebody you've admired and somebody who's built. He's such a troubadour. So to get to, oof, it just gives me chills thinking about it. So nice. And he was incredibly welcoming. He shared, I remember he brought us out a plate of grapes. That was really nice.
How about that? Green or purple?
They were purple and they were delicious.
Seedless or seeded?
They were seedless.
Okay.
Did he build you a guitar?
No, but gosh, if he ever did, no. I would just, I don't even know what I'd do. But
purple seedless grapes are good too.
They were great. They were a great second prize.
Perfect. So, but you've written with a ton of great writers
Dina
over
Carter's
the years.
Dina Carter's one of them that came to mind. I mean, I can remember locking myself in my dorm room in college because there was a special on CMT about her. And then years later, I was in California sitting in her office writing songs. She couldn't be nicer. She couldn't be cooler. She's as sweet as can be. We've written a song called You're the Song that it was one of these days where we were talking about this water filter system. And she was telling me how, I don't know, it was something about the pH, some California water thing. I wasn't really following it at the time. But
okay.
Then we switched gears to her telling me just this kind of life lesson that she had about like tough times in your life really show you like the good stuff. And we got in this conversation that literally just the lyrics poured out of the conversation. So to just sit there and have that real connection with somebody you've admired and get to know them, like their heart. Yeah. Oh, it's incredible. And she and I are just good friends now. And it's still kind of have those moments where I'm like, you're Dina Carter, but then you're like Dina, but then you're Dina Carter.
Yeah.
So that's been just such a special friendship and a special writing relationship. And she just put out an amazing new album. So y'all should check her new music out.
There you go. Oh, go ahead, Ina.
I was just going to say, if you could pick out one or two pointers for writers listening tonight, from all the co-writers you've had over the years, you know, little nuggets to pass on to somebody who's, you know, trying to figure it out.
I think one of the things that I've really figured out through being in the songwriting world for a while now is that sometimes you are looking so ahead that you miss out on what is happening around you at that moment. And maybe I look back and think about the people that I first met when I came to town, Leah Crutchfield, my friend Megan James, Ross, and we all kind of formed this, you know, circle of people that all have kind of come up in the business together. Jaren, I met a little bit later, Jaren Johnston, John Knight, and I have crossed paths now, but I think not discounting the talent that's around you is so huge because those people have the same passion and focus that you have. And if you group together and you really find those relationships, you're going to have that for such a long time. And so, as much as I admire people from afar, I really value now those friendships and relationships and writing relationships that have turned into songs that are now getting recorded. But at the time you kind of feel like you're new to town and nobody knows who you are and do these songs matter. But if you just keep doing it, they're going to matter. So
that's
cool.
Great.
Sweet. Love that.
That's great. I heard you say something interesting a few years back in an interview where you were saying you were trying out producers. Talk about.
Did I say that? No, I do remember that.
You said trying out producers. Yeah. And I said, I've never heard that. Talk about that process. How do you try them out? And what are you looking for when you're...
Yeah. Well, I think I was probably referring to a project that I had put on the back burner that needs to come off the back burner. But I was considering doing an independent record. And I think that I mean, I don't want to put myself in a corner, but it's something I would like to do and just do another independent project. But I think just finding somebody who understands your direction would be one thing, who knows you as a person and knows how to get the best out of your sound. For example, with Ross, Dirk Bentley recently brought Ross in to do his latest project, Riser. Mm-hmm. And I remember somebody telling me that Dirk's felt like Riser sounds the most like him. Like what he thinks he sounds like and wants to sound like is what Ross was able to get out of the musicians and out of the mics or however he, you know, did his placement and stuff. So I think it's finding that person who might go down, you know, a more left-footed path with you or maybe take some chances. And so
Might get drunk on a plane with
you. Might get drunk on a plane with you. Yeah, okay. Of course.
That's what you're looking for.
So like, you know, Ross always comes to mind. He's able to do so many things from pop to more Americana stuff and everything in between. So he's a great, great person for that. But he's probably really busy.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. So there's a great guys out there. I've always, like, I had this idea to have Jaron Johnson do a track, Ross do a track, my friend Jimmy Robbins maybe do a track, and do like a little project like that. So then I could have all the people that I love and would love to work. Maybe Dina Carter do a track. She produces also. And just do a project like that where I could have everybody that I love in the mix, but they won't have to be too committed. They can just get in, do a song, be gone, and go on to their next project.
I think that's brilliant. I think you should do that.
So we'll see. Hold me to it.
Yeah, I will.
So then, what's next for you? You were doing Key West?
I did Key West. I'm actually playing the Bluebird this Saturday with a few friends, Walker Hayes being one of them. We toured a few years together, on the Bluebird portion of what was called the Country Throwdown Tour. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that,
yep.
But they had it for 2 years. I got to do the year with Willie Nelson, too, which was so much fun. So that's coming up, and just writing, which I kind of feel like sometimes we're like, oh, the same old, but I love the same old.
It's working for you. It's working for you.
Absolutely.
So this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. And thanks for everybody who listened. Thank you so much. I got a Slurpee that night, some champagne and a Slurpee when it went number one.
Nice. Nice.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Well, again, Heather Morgan. Thanks for being with us. You've been listening to the Music Row Show. Till we see you again, go write something.